Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. The text line. Hey, C-Dot, I just want to know, is calling you UMKC Dot still fair game? You said the Chargers Dot gets you blocked. I just want to be sure. Very well played. Another texter. Now you're crying just like your quarterback, Phillip Rivers. It's one thing to talk about me. Let's not disrespect Phillip Rivers or Justin Herbert. Talk about anybody else. Talk about me, Rob, Konzo Martin, Eli Drinkwitz, Luther Burden, if you would like. Don't disrespect Justin Herbert and Phillip Rivers. Two icons. Two great all-time QBs. Let's not do that. I'm looking at SportsCenter right now, and their top story is Colts address Carson Wentz's future after late season struggles. All of us knew that Carson Wentz stunk. They just now figured that out. They needed the last game of the season for them to figure out that Carson Wentz wasn't good. I knew he wasn't good. Did you know that, Rob? Did you know this information? It seemed like it was out there. It was certainly reasons to feel that way about him. I'm not surprised that it didn't work out for the Colts. I mean, I'm not surprised that their first round pick trading for Carson Wentz didn't work.
If you saw him throw it backwards to the Titans at the end of that game, that's when you should have known. If you had any doubt, if you're Chris Ballard, you saw him throw it to the Titans. That's the end of the game. That's the end of the run. At least he's got 3 years, $82 million left.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he still has $82 million guaranteed. I will say this. It is better to be Chargers Dot than Colts Dot. If I had to pick another team in the NFL, and I'm not going to be Chiefs Dot, if I had to pick, I'd rather be Chargers Dot than Colts Dot. The Chargers have a future. I don't know if the Colts have a future. They don't seem to have one.
We let Bink off easy. He loved the Colts all offseason. Yeah, he's all about the Colts.
I want to say a couple of things, too. I've had to really wear picking the Chargers when you picked the Chargers, Pete Sweeney picked the Chargers, and Nate Taylor all picked the Chargers to win the division. I'm the only person that's had to wear it for everybody. But you know what? I'll keep doing that because I'm a soldier. But I wasn't the only person that was picking him. Cody picked him. That's what I'm saying. I wasn't the only one here. But you know what? I'm going to continue to hold it down. And I'll continue to take the jokes and the arrows because that's what champions do. This is actually a good question. Hey, C-Dot, ask Rob if he thinks Carson Wentz or Jonathan Taylor are more valuable.
Well, your best player is running back, and you're watching at home. So
No, don't do that.
The reason they're not in the playoffs is their quarterback stunk. It had nothing to do with the running back. So, yes, he has more value than their running back.
Hit the hits or what? I don't even know what I want to talk about anymore.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
I just want to say, Rob, sometimes your sports opinions are why everybody thinks they can do this job.
Because hating running backs
the
is a very...
The takes you give on this show are why anybody thinks they can do this job.
People on the text line think Josh Gordon is a star. Not anyone can do this job. I have to be the bastion of truth. Meanwhile, the hits are brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio repair since 1967. Friend of the show, Nick Wright, was on his show First Things First, and he thinks the Chiefs really benefited from playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This is actually better than a bye. Get some cardio in, knock off some rust, have no chance of losing.
He
can work on some things and be just rolling when the playoffs actually start for the Chiefs, the same weekend they've always started for the Chiefs under Mahomes, the divisional round.
Do you agree with Nick that playing the Steelers is just some cardio, some light work? It's like jazzercise, and this is better than a bye.
All right, I'm not going to say it's better than a bye, because ideally, letting your body rest, like something wrong could happen. You could risk an injury, and, you know, that kind of stuff could happen, right? But I do firmly believe this. Let's say that of all, like, let's say since the Chiefs had to pick and play on this weekend, right? If we said that the one seeds get byes and we'll let the Chiefs pick who they can play in the first round of the playoffs on either side of the bracket. So AFC teams and NFC teams. I think you'd pick the Steelers. Maybe they'd pick the Raiders because they matched up great against the Raiders this year. But I think if the Chiefs had the ability to pick their postseason opponent, I think they pick the team that they're going up against. I think they pick Pittsburgh. I'm not going to say it's better than a bye week. I mean, that's a level that I'm not even willing to go. It's really funny. I'm not willing to say that, but everything else he said is right. This is not the playoffs. This is preseason game number 5. They had preseason game number 4 last week. They have one more preseason game, and then next week the actual playoffs start.
Two.
Well, earlier today, the Texans announced they have fired their head coach and former Chiefs wide receiver coach David Culley. We had James Palmer, the NFL Network, on the show and asked him, is EB a candidate for Houston, and is there still buzz around the Chiefs offensive coordinator?
You're right. It has been different for him over the, I think this year has a different vibe than even last year for him, and it's going to be interesting to see if he continues to get this opportunity to interview, or does it eventually cycle out and enough teams have interviewed him? Because sadly, it's a lot of the same teams, right, that are looking for head coaches year, you know, after every couple of years. Does he start to phase his way out of the head coaching spot and he misses that window, or a team doesn't seem to see him as the right fit? We'll see how this cycle plays out, but you're right, it has a bit of a different feel than it did the last couple of seasons.
Last question, at least related to...
Well, Carrington, another offseason where Eric Bieniemy is a candidate for a lot of jobs, but do you think this year just feels different, a different vibe, and there is no buzz around the Chiefs offensive coordinator?
I would say it's preseason. We're cutting audio, too, it sounds like. Back there, it's preseason vibes there as well. I think that, like most things in life, you only get a small window to be hot. Last year, Bieniemy was hot. There were 7 head coaching vacancies. He interviewed for every single head coaching vacancy. He was hot last year. He ain't hot no more. He'll get a couple interviews this year, and if he doesn't get a job this year, I think it's over. I think the window is closed. It's almost like what happened with Dave Tobe on a higher scale. You remember, there was a time there where Dave Tobe, we thought he was next up. We thought he had a chance to be John Harbaugh. Harbaugh used to be Andy Reid's special teams coach. He then got a head coaching job, and it obviously worked out well for him. There were a time we thought that way about Dave Tobe. He was getting interviewed. He was a good candidate, and the league sort of passed him by. If Bieniemy doesn't get a head coaching job this year, you can probably go ahead and chalk it up. He won't be a head coach in the National Football League. I'm sure there's a bunch of different reasons on why that would be the case, but this is a really important offseason with Bieniemy, especially because there's jobs that make sense for EB. The Giants job makes sense. Houston makes sense, even though it looks like they're going to hire Jared Mayo. The Vikings make sense. The Broncos make sense. So if EB is going to get a job, it's going to happen this offseason, or it's just probably not going to happen for him at all. So I've been very dismissive of the Pittsburgh Steelers so far this season. A lot in the playoffs. So I tweeted a couple of days ago that they're the worst team in the playoffs with the bottom 5 quarterback. Our next guest, Andrew Filippone, retweeted me and sicked the Pittsburgh goons on me, ruined my evening. I want to get his opinion on how Pittsburgh fans are feeling heading into the wild card matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs. He is Andrew Filippone. He does afternoon radio in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Pony.
Carrington, when you said Big Ben, bottom five quarterback, did you mean bottom five in these playoffs or bottom five in the entire NFL?
I think he is bottom five in the entire National Football League. He is.
So does that make him the worst quarterback in the playoffs?
No, I think that Mac Jones is the worst quarterback in the playoffs, and I got Big Ben at 13th. I was listening to you guys' shows. We played some of your show earlier, and I'm sure you saw Bill Bender. He did his power rankings, and he had Ben Roethlisberger at 8. I don't know how you can argue that Ben Roethlisberger is better than Kyler Murray. I don't know how you can argue that he's better than Ryan Tannehill or Derek Carr either. I think he stinks.
Well, so do you think Mac Jones is the worst quarterback in the league if he's behind Ben?
No, I would probably put right now Zach Wilson as the worst starting quarterback in the National Football League.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think this year that Trevor Lawrence was really bad, but I don't really know how to evaluate Trevor Lawrence this year because of everything that happened. So I would say that Ben Roethlisberger is probably in the Darnold range of starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I don't like that, Carrington, because – I think this brings out, this time of year, can change people. Like, your boy Alex Smith sucked in games like this. Let's just call it what it is. He could throw 40 touchdowns in the regular season. You put him in a playoff game, there was pee-pee in his pants. He was not good in these types of games. I know they beat Houston. Okay, congratulations. He won that playoff game. Then they play the Steelers, and they lose at Arrowhead, and the Steelers don't score a touchdown in that game. It's all field goals. So I do think, for better or worse, Matt Stafford, guy puts up prodigious numbers. Let's see him get it done in January. So I like Big Ben's attitude going into this game. I do think, from a physical talent standpoint, what he can do with the ball at this point in his career, I would say Hurts and Mac Jones would be the only guys that are definitely worse than him. As far as I'm concerned, we know Hurts can move, but I don't trust him as much as I do Ben. So, yeah, I mean, he's got to get it done with, like, four or five big-time throws, and that's it. The way that Peyton Manning did it in 2015 with the Broncos, where he mostly had to ride a defense. The Steelers got to ride T.J. Watt, and I got to hope Najee Harris is healthy for this game, Carrington.
No, you're right, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm curious to get your perspective as someone who has watched a lot of Steelers this year. I've maybe watched them four or five times. I mean, the last time I really watched them was against Kansas City, and I actually think that Pittsburgh was that they were probably the worst team Kansas City played this year. Now, I know they were better than the Giants and better than Washington, but those teams were far more competitive against Kansas City than I think Pittsburgh was. How much of it do you think is Ben Roethlisberger? How much of it do you think is Pittsburgh's offensive line?
Well, their line's a lot better than it was going into that game. They had an offensive line coach who had no business being an NFL offensive line coach. How do I know that? Because he's right now Oregon's offensive line coach. He left the team after that game to take a college job. I'd never seen that before. I told everybody in Pittsburgh, this guy's in over his head. He's a terrible hire. And it was one of the many things about the Steelers that I was absolutely right about. So, in that respect, they've gotten better. Their offensive line coach now is a guy that was the Falcons' offensive line coach when they were in the Super Bowl a few years ago. So they've got competent coaching. They also got rid of their center, the guy that got blown up on that play where Ben fumbled against the Chiefs that led to that 30-0 lead. That guy's gone. He's been benched, Kendrick Green. They've replaced him with J.C. Hassenauer, who played at Alabama, who at least gets them into the right looks. They're not blowing assignments. If they're getting beat, it's because they're not good enough, not because they're not, you know, well planned or prepped on what's going to happen on a given play. So I think their protection of Ben and their run blocking will be much improved in this game. And I don't think, when we look back on it, Carrington, we'll blame the Steelers' offensive line for a blowout loss.
Right now we're talking to Andrew Filippone, who does afternoon radio in Pittsburgh, just getting his thoughts. You've heard the comments we've seen this week, whether it was Ben Roethlisberger talking about nobody believes in us, Deontay Johnson said that same thing. What do Pittsburgh fans feel heading into this matchup? They're the biggest underdog we've ever seen in Wild Card Weekend. I do understand that comes with some of a caveat. This is maybe the best team we've ever seen play in Wild Card Weekend in Kansas City. You're also going up against a team who was a 7 seed, so they wouldn't have made the playoffs. in years past under the old format. What do Pittsburgh fans feel heading into this game against Kansas City?
I think it's the best they felt about a playoff game in years. I think Steelers fans have a tremendous feeling right now. I think they feel outstanding, not just because they're lucky or feel lucky to be here, but because there's absolutely no pressure on them to win this game. Last year at this time, we were getting ready for the Browns, and if you lose to Cleveland, which they did, it's like a scarlet letter on you all offseason. You got punked by little brother. You let the team you beat up on for years come into your own house and knock you around and embarrass you. There's none of that going into this game. The Steelers are the hunter for a change. They're looking to pull the upset, spring the upset. It's a house money game for them. The Steelers rarely, if ever, have that. So I think fans are looking at this as gravy. They love what they're getting into with this game. If they win, that's one of the, like you said, it's the biggest upset, biggest playoff upset in Steelers history. If they play a close game, it's a moral victory. It's something they can build upon for next season. If they get blown out, well, what did you expect? They were supposed to get beat by a team that's gone to the last three AFC championship games.
I just don't know if you can have a moral victory in a playoff game. Like, I certainly get what you're saying. Like, the odds are heavily against them. The DAC is everything is stacked against them. We're also talking about a one-game sample winner you go home scenario where
Let me ask you a question. Did you not feel that way about Washington against Tampa Bay last year? I mean, Heineke and Washington's defense probably gave Tampa Bay the best game they saw all playoffs. They were more competitive than the Chiefs in the Super Bowl and more competitive than the Saints in the NFC divisional round. I think people were watching that game like, hey, Heineke's pretty fun. This guy's got a little bit of a moxie to him. This is pretty cool that they're giving the Bucs a game here. And I think that's the same way the Steelers are looking at this one, Carrington.
No, that makes sense. But also, though, for, I guess, to defend the Washington football team, which is really hard to do, they also were playing a rookie quarterback that we had just never heard of before. So it was the, oh, this is fun. Like, maybe this guy can be their quarterback of the future. And I think we all realized that he was never going to be that. That's not what...
quarterbacks in the league. I think you just said that Taylor Heineke's better than him in an indirect way.
He is better than Ben Roethlisberger.
So then what are we doing here? We're going into a game with no chance. Slim to none. I mean, that's the best mindset to have here. If we go in and we play a great game, then we shock the world, and it's a game that Steelers fans are going to be talking about for decades, forever. I mean, I think for Roethlisberger's last go-round, for him to be in this spot, I mean, I think most experts thought that the Browns would definitely be better than the Steelers this year. And even though the Ravens had all those injuries, Steelers and Ravens, they hate each other. And so the fact that both of those fan bases Sunday night have to watch Ben Roethlisberger play another football game, that is an incredibly good feeling. Hey, if your Missouri Tigers went to the Sweet 16 and Kansas lost in the first round, you wouldn't care if they got beat by Gonzaga by 30 points, Carrington, because Kansas fans would have to watch Missouri. It's the same feeling here.
Right now we're talking to Andrew Filippone for a couple more minutes here. All right, Pony, give me the scenario in which you see Pittsburgh winning, because I think their only chance to win is like 17-13, which Kansas City doesn't play a lot of low-scoring games, but I guess it's happened before. Give me the scenario in which you see Pittsburgh winning on Sunday Night Football.
Right, so let me start you with a question to answer that. What happened to the Chiefs' offense against the Packers and Cowboys? Why didn't they score points in those games? Were there injuries? What was the deal?
I think Kansas City went through like a weird stretch in the middle part of the season where they were adjusting to teams kind of quote-unquote figuring them out. That we talked a lot about the middle part of the season about teams running this too high safety look and Kansas City wasn't getting big plays, and I think that is Mahomes' worst stretch. I think the game against the game he had against the Packers, which I think is the worst game he's had in his career, he made one throw at the end of it, and he just got fired up. And then since that moment, he's kind of went back to being the same Patrick Mahomes that sometimes sometimes everybody goes through a slump, right? Like sometimes Steph Curry will just go through a five-game stretch where he just doesn't shoot the ball right, but he is also the best basketball player or the best shooter that's ever lived. Eventually he's going to figure it out, where maybe, maybe Pittsburgh could pull this upset off if this was like week 8 of the NFL season. I don't know if they can do this in week 19 with how Kansas City's offense is playing right now.
Well, I think the way they do it is they get pressure with only 4 guys. And they can do that. I'm convinced of that. I'm convinced they can do that because T.J. Watt was less than 50%. He didn't play that much. He only played like 55 snaps or 55% of the snaps in the first game. He had a rib injury that was really bothering him. In that first game, he only had one tackle the entire game. I can promise you that's not going to happen again. So, you know, what does Andy Reid do? Does he trust Andrew Wiley to block T.J. Watt, the best pass rusher in the NFL? Let's say he doesn't. Then what does he do? He asks Travis Kelce to delay his route by a couple of seconds to help with that? I don't think he wants to do that either. Who's the second tight end? Bell, is that the guy's name?
Mm-hmm.
What's the second tight end's name?
Yeah,
so
Bell.
You're going to go heavy 2 tight ends? I don't know if I see that. You're going to ask your running back, you're going to ask Darrell Williams or Gore to chip. I mean, I just don't. I think between Watt, Hayward, and Highsmith that the Steelers can get pressure without blitzing. And the other thing about playing those 2 high safeties, Carrington, I think the Steelers will do that, and here's the thing. Will the Chiefs run the ball? Will they be patient? Hey, they were in the first game. They had super long drives. It was 8 minutes to start the game. I don't know if they'll do that again. Maybe they will. But the one promise I can make you about this game is T.J. Watt will be much, much better. And I think Andrew Wiley, just like Eric Fisher, would have nightmares about James Harrison and couldn't play against him. I think Andrew Wiley's doing the same thing thinking about T.J. Watt right now.
To be fair, Pony, this team also didn't have Travis Kelce the first time. So you're right. Pittsburgh had a banged up T.J. Watt in that game, which that's kind of his career, what it's looked like. But for Travis Kelce, I mean, Kelce didn't play in that game either, and they won 36-10.
Oh, no doubt. I'm just saying, simple question. Can Andrew Wiley block T.J. Watt?
Probably not, no.
If the answer is no, then tell me how they offset that. What do they do?
But I would say, though, because I wrote this down earlier, to me, the only way that Pittsburgh can win this game is T.J. Watt needs 2 sacks. They have to be at least +3 in the turnover margin, and they need 1 score defensively or special teams. Then maybe you're right, and T.J. Watt goes out there and has the game of his life. Pittsburgh's offense still needs to score 17 points. Pittsburgh, this season, they've only scored more than 24 points 5 times this year.
Right.
We had a stat where Patrick Mahomes, his teams are 49-3. Against teams that don't score 30 points. So if you're going to beat Kansas City, you need to be at least you got to score at least 30 points. And there's no chance Pittsburgh does that. So if you're telling me that Pittsburgh wins this game 21-17, I just don't think that that's very realistic.
Well, look, I've only seen the Steelers score 30 points 1 time this year and they lost the game. So I would be lying to you if I said right now that I think they can come into Arrowhead and win a shootout, okay? But I also don't think it needs to be 13-10 or something like that. I think there's a happy medium sweet spot in there where the Steelers can get into the mid-20s and win the game. And the reason why I feel that way is, and hey, if they got all those turnovers, great. But I also think we have, and I mean this, I think the Chiefs' defense is very overrated. In fact, I think it might be the most overrated unit in football. Congratulations. You were bend but don't break and got lucky in the second half of the season. You're 27th in total defense, and you're 27th. And oh, wait, if you're not someone who says, whoa, I don't like the basic stats, we got to do analytics. Go get the analytics. The analytics people think they're an average defense. They're not good. The only thing they're good at is scoring defense. That's it. So if that's what you want to hang your hat on, they don't give up a lot of points, fine. But I'm a process that leads to results guy. And the process for the Chiefs' defense this year, Carrington, I'm sorry. It hasn't been that good. They're very overrated.
That is Andrew Filippone. He does afternoon radio in Pittsburgh talking about Sunday's wild card matchup between the Chiefs and the Steelers. Pony, always good talking to you, my man.
Carrington, is Nick going to come on with you or what?
I'm not treating this like a playoff week. Next week, Nick will come on. They'll play Buffalo or some team that can actually beat them, and I'm happy to have them on. But
so are you resting Tyreek and Travis Kelce too?
No, but I would rest Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams in this game. You guys can't win. Pony, you know this. I understand you got to play towards the home fans. Well,
Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a terrible draft pick, and I like that that is one thing you've been consistent on, that you let your fans there know, and you have many, that Clyde Edwards-Helaire stinks, and you can literally find a guy off the street who's a better running back than him. So I do like that you've been leading that charge for a very long time now.
I appreciate you, Pony. Thank you.
Bye. And Chris Jones and Frank Clark are overrated.
All right, Pony. Pony's gone too far now. He's gone too far. Too far. I can't let him continue to spew these lies on these airways. We'll let you guys respond to what Pony had to say. 913-576-7610. I do think he made some good points about the defense. I disagree with the whole premise of it. I do think he made some good points about the defense. We'll play that. I think he's a little bit delusional about something else. We'll get to all of that next. Keep it locked in. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Text line 913-576-7610. A lot of reaction to our guest, Andrew Filippone, who does afternoon radio in Pittsburgh at 93.7 The Fan. That guy was talking like TJ Watt is Derek Thomas. I think he's high. Well, I mean, I don't know. He might be. TJ Watt might be Derek Thomas. Now, he's got to do it for a lot longer, but TJ Watt was an animal this year, like an absolute animal this year. This is the thing. I like Pony. Pony's going to have strong opinions. He's going to have strong takes. I like that. I'm all for it. Now, where I'll push back, and I pushed back while we were having the conversation, is what I hate we do in these kind of games is we focus in on the 5% instead of the 95%. Sure. Pittsburgh can win this game. There's a chance that they win this game. The perfect scenario and perfect storm could come together for them to win. It's certainly possible that TJ Watt goes out there and puts together a performance for the ages. He has 3 sacks, a forced fumble, an injury happens that allows Pittsburgh to win, right? It's possible. Let's focus in on what's likely, and what we can quantify. Before we really break down any Kansas City Chiefs game, I ask myself a very simple question. Can they score? Because if you can't do that, then predicting you to beat Kansas City is a futile exercise. It's a waste of everyone's time. If you can't score enough to beat them, I'm not saying you got to hang 40 against them, but you need to be able to score at least 27 points in order to realistically think that you're going to beat Kansas City right now. Cincinnati could do that. They beat them. Buffalo can do that. Tennessee can do that. So there are going to be games this postseason where we're going to have to really break down the game. I don't really think that. Now, he said the point about Frank Clark being overrated. I don't really know a lot of people that think super highly of Frank Clark. At this point, I just think we've all kind of accepted that it is what it is. He got overpaid. But when healthy, he's a fine pass rusher. He's not really a game-changing pass rusher. There's probably, I don't know, 15, 20, maybe 25 guys in the league that are Frank Clark at this point. But when healthy, he's good. I will certainly disagree with him on Chris Jones. Like, certainly disagree with them. I think Chris Jones is one of the 10 best defensive linemen in the National Football League. We don't got to play this interior edge. There are not 10 defensive linemen better than him. Now, you would probably take some edge rushers over him. You take T.J. Watt. You take Myles Garrett. You know, there's some rushers that you take over him. But if we're just talking ability to get to the quarterback, pursuit of the ball, Chris Jones is one of the 10 best defensive linemen in the NFL. So he's not overrated. I don't think that Pittsburgh can score straight up with Kansas City. And I even think in, I would say, most realistic scenarios, they really can't keep up. I don't think the Washington comparison is very good because I think Washington was in a very unique situation and it was kind of a, all right, this is a novelty. And we'll see if Tyler, it's not what Pittsburgh is. Like, when they lose this game, it starts the rebuild for them. With Washington, I think part of the intrigue was a lot of us went into that game having really no understanding of who Taylor Heinicke was and came out of that game thinking, Taylor Heinicke's not that bad. Maybe he can be their starting quarterback next year. So that's where I'd push back on the differences between last year's Tampa and Washington game and this year's Kansas City versus Pittsburgh. This is the last song. This is the encore for Ben Roethlisberger. The concert should have ended. I'm going to come out and do one more song. I don't think that song's going to go very well for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we'll see. What'd you think of what Pony had to say, Rob?
I think he made a couple points that I think Chiefs fans didn't want to hear, but I think were fair. His point about T.J. Watt versus Andrew Wiley is concerning, and you will have to do something to take care of him. That's a fair point. His point about how you're going to have to chip with tight ends and with running backs, and that will throw off every route combination the Chiefs have, was not correct. That was too much, as you would say, dip for the chip. But his concept is true. We've said all week, the only cause for concern we have is the Chiefs' O-line against their pass rush. So T.J. Watt is concerning. I agree with you on Frank Clark. It's hard to overrate someone who no one thinks is that good, so he's impossible to be overrated. And I get his point about the Steelers look and their fans look at this game the same way Washington football team fans look at the game last year. Hey, we shouldn't be here. Why not us? But isn't that a sad display if you're the Steelers? The Steelers are one of the three or four most proud franchises in the NFL. They're not KU basketball. They're North Carolina basketball. They're Duke basketball. They're one of these staples in the sport. And they're hoping a why not us moment and they feel good about that. It's be like that one year that Carolina was an 8 seed. And you're like, that's it makes you happy? You feel like, why not? It's disappointing is how they should feel. I was confused by that point he made.
And we use this house money comparison. House money doesn't really go very far in the playoffs. We can use that scenario in the regular season and find examples. We've now cut out the dregs of the league. We've cut out the dregs. And we've also cut out a lot of the pretenders. Like, I know we've been having fun with the Chargers dot thing, but they were a pretender. The playoffs were right there in front of you. It didn't matter any other scenario. It was you go win a football game, and they couldn't do it. They're pretenders. The Colts are pretenders. For all the time that we spent the second half of the season talking about how you wouldn't want to play them because they can run the ball so effectively, they ended up being pretenders. This is where we start to weed out the weak. And the Steelers, quite simply, are one of the weak. The Chiefs aren't. You advance, and then you start playing the other strong teams. Next week, we start seeing the Chiefs go up against those teams. Now, I guess before we go to the phone lines, the point he made about the defense. Now, I don't know if we're ready to have that conversation this week, and next week we'll have it. The Chiefs' best and most impressive defensive performance was against the Dallas Cowboys when they didn't have their number one wide receiver. So I do think at some point the Chiefs have to prove their ability against a high-powered offense and or a good quarterback. I don't think that's what they're going up against this week. I don't think that's what they're going up against. So next week when they play against Josh Allen and people question the defense, I think the criticism will be fair. I don't think any of that factors in now. And this just isn't the kind of team offensively that gives Kansas City problems. We know the teams. Look at the teams they've lost to the last 2 years. Who gives Kansas City problems? It's teams that can really push the ball down the field. Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Burrow were a problem. Joe Burrow was the best down-the-field passer in the National Football League. Herbert gave this team fits when they went up against him. Herbert's a big-play quarterback. It was a healthy, in the early part of the season, Lamar Jackson that gave this team fits. It's not what Ben Roethlisberger is at this point. Let's go to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Peanut called into the drive. Hey, Peanut.
What's up, C-Dot, bro?
What's up, man?
I was just listening to this guy, man, and I just want to say that I enjoy you bringing these guys on from another team because it shows me just how wrong that they are. First of all, I don't believe that they can get pressure with just four. Secondly, I believe that the most overrated unit is their D-line. I believe that T.J. Watt is great, but he, like Barbara said, they got fat on a bunch of bum teams. I don't believe they're good. And secondly, the last point I'm going to make is our defense, they need to back up off the D. Our D is official. Like you said, I'm not counting that game versus Denver because they was getting ready for the playoffs. You know how that go. And when we played the Bengals, Ward was in position. It's not like he was not there. He was there. Ja'Marr Chase was just a better player. He just made the play. So I believe that we're going to get what – man, come on. I'm just tired of everybody talking about the defense. This defense is legit. We official. And I think that's what's going to win this game. Pittsburgh has zero chance of winning. You talk about – they can't – I don't believe they're going to score more than 10 points this game. That's just how I feel about it.
I appreciate the phone call, Peanut. The most I'd give Pittsburgh is 17. That's the most I'd give them. I don't think this game gets played into the mid-20s like Pony was saying. I don't think this game gets played into the mid-20s. At least not by Pittsburgh. Like maybe Kansas City only scores 28. But then they win 28-17. I'm not even erasing the possibility that Pittsburgh covers. I mean, it's 13 points. If the Chiefs win 31-20, they don't cover, but they won comfortably. So, yeah, I mean.
In that scenario, though, you have them at 20.
Yeah, but, like, I'm just saying, like, let's say that Pittsburgh plays a little bit better than I think. Kansas City doesn't blow them out by the spread. You win by 11 points. You still lose your bet if you bet on Kansas City. And you're like, oh, Pittsburgh played a little better than I thought they were going to play. But you still lose. So I would say if I'm going to bet on one side of it, I'd probably bet Pittsburgh plus the 13 just because you get so many points to play with. And then you take the one, hey, maybe this game's a little bit closer. Kansas City kind of lets off the gas in the second half. They win this game, but they're just not that interested in blowing them out. Like, that could happen. Now, I will say this. Pittsburgh is one of the few teams that can get pressure with their front four. Like, they have two elite defensive linemen. Not two good defensive linemen, two elite defensive linemen. T.J. Watt is going to win an award. He's going to win Defensive Player of the Year. Cam Hayward is an all-pro type player. So they got two elite guys. So it's not outside the realm of possibility that they can win with just their front four. Okay, what else? Like, there has to be something more than just that. So let's say that T.J. Watt has 1.5 sack. Let's say that it's a 2nd and 9. In the second quarter, T.J. Watt gets a sack. Okay. What else do you do? Like, are you disrupting and changing the game in other ways? You got a couple pass deflections. Did you force a fumble? Like, I don't think just the pure sack number is enough from T.J. Watt. You're going to have to do something else to go win it. He's the only person on the team that I think can beat him. Like, maybe Najee Harris could beat him if you gave them a new offensive line, but I don't think that Najee Harris is... I don't think that Najee Harris behind that offensive line is going to be effective enough to go out and win this game.
The only fear I'd have, and you're right, they have an elite defensive line. The only fear I have that elite defensive line wrecking havoc is if Andy Reid, for some reason, doesn't acknowledge it and did what he did in the Super Bowl last year, which is just say, go get them, boys. Figure it out. Because last year in the Super Bowl, Andrew Wiley was at right tackle. Yeah, it went horrible. But
they're also not as banged up on the offensive line as they were there. Like
100% not.
Last year you had Mike Remmers at left tackle in the Super Bowl. This year you have Orlando Brown's going to be back playing left tackle in this game. Like, your offensive line is far improved from where you were in that game. So I'm with you. Like, maybe we come away thinking, hey, Pittsburgh defensive line played really well in this game. Kansas City couldn't get the game started with the run. Like, Kansas City just couldn't run the ball effectively. Mahomes had to throw it 45 times, and that's how you had to go win this football game. So I'm not dismissing the possibility that their defensive line could play really well in this game, but you're going to need another part of your team to play really well in this game outside of that. Like, we're not talking about how in the Super Bowl, Tampa Bay also ran the ball really effectively, too. Like, they also ran over you in that game, too. So they were able to kind of control the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. Will Pittsburgh be able to do that? They could maybe, not even maybe, they could win the line of scrimmage on defense. Can they win it on offense? I don't think they can win it on both sides.
And Mitch said this on Monday with us. Pat Freiermuth adds an element to that Steelers team that the Chiefs didn't have to face the first time. That's a real viable weapon over the middle. I don't think that changes the game dramatically, but just there are little nuances and wrinkles that are different in this game, but I think you're going to get a very, very similar result because unless the Chiefs just forgot what got them here and start putting Dan Sorensen in a one-on-one with Pat Freiermuth, and then if the D-line dominates the game the way we think they could, Andy Reid says, I'm still going to run the ball for some reason, then yeah, maybe it comes a rock fight and the Chiefs lose, but I don't see either of those things happening at all. The Chiefs coaching staff's too good to make those mistakes.
Text line 913-576-7610. Just talking about the defense, I do think the Chiefs defense needs to prove whether or not they can perform really well against a high-quality offense and quarterback. Like, I don't know if their defense has proven or earned your confidence against that. I don't know if they've proven that as much. But we'll see. We'll see. I certainly got a lot of respect for TJ Watt, a lot of respect for Hayward, Freiermuth, a lot of respect for who they have defensively. I don't know if that's enough. I question if that's enough. Did you guys see who's banging the drum? Dante Hall and Priest Holmes will be there. Tech Nine's performing at halftime.
PTSD fan is pissed. Those two are in the building for a playoff game. All the bad juju.
I got a question tomorrow about Tech Nine that I want to ask people. I don't want to ask it right now. We'll have a more long-form conversation about it tomorrow. All right, we're back again tomorrow. Tomorrow, we've got a busy show planned. Charlie Batch will be on the show tomorrow. Nate Taylor will be on the show tomorrow. And I'll be on the show tomorrow. It'll be so much fun. I hope you're there. It's The Drive. Take care of yourself.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.